Welcome to Philly Tech Connect Podcast, where Philly's tech minds meet. CEOs, developers, dreamers, this is your space. Each week, we explore the journeys of tech innovators. Join us and be inspired.
Hey, everyone. Dave here with another episode of the Philly Tech Connect Podcast. Today, I'm speaking with an individual I met last week at one of our co-working events, Daniele Della Valle. He has recently joined the realm of startups after more than 12 years in aerospace, designing, building, and testing amazing products like helicopters and rockets. He is now the CPO and co-founder of TactIgnite, a tech-driven startup accelerator with a mission to skyrocket, playing on the aerospace history of early-stage startups and bring them to funding in the shortest time possible. Daniele, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. In what you had mentioned, you know, all the things about designing, building, and testing amazing aerospace products, you didn't use the word launching. Did you get to launch any rockets?
Yeah, actually, that's a pain point. So we were close to launch a rocket, but then Astra kind of like pivot, so to build like a bigger rocket. So I contributed to the design of one of the actually two stages of rocket four, but the rocket didn't make through to the space yet. So the design is still ongoing. Hopefully we will see that rocket in orbit sooner or later. Yeah,
that's closer than I've ever got, so that's super cool. I haven't had anyone really to my knowledge with like aerospace background and now working kind of in a sort of startup accelerator. But, you know, before you were co-founding TactIgnite, which I want to hear about down the line in the show, you were not in the realm of startups at all. You had maybe a more traditional corporate job, and it was a journey to kind of get here. So we're going to kind of build the show around that, talk about our mutual experiences and kind of transitioning to where we got now. So tell me a little bit about where you were, prior to, Daniele, the CPO and co-founder of TactIgnite. Where did you kind of start?
Sure. Yeah. And before, like we talked about this before, we kind of have a similar journey. So starting to the very beginning, I was born and raised in Italy. I have a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science in Aerospace Engineering and a Master in Management. I started my career like in a big corporate environment. The company is Leonardo Helicopters, 46,000 employees. So you can imagine like a very kind of slow moving, but like huge and very heavily processed environment. I had fun there. I started as a contract manager. So I was basically managing the contracts for the sale of helicopters. My customers were mainly government entities, specifically South America and Northeast Asia, so Korea, Japan, Brazil, Chile, Mexico. Like very very fun, a very fun period of my life. I had the opportunity to travel a lot to deliver the helicopters. Test the helicopters with my customer. So I flown a lot of times. It was super fun.
That's cool, man. When you speak, there's just so many similarities that I'm hearing. So for example, I did 23andMe and I'm a little bit Italian. And I didn't do aerospace, but I played with Legos as a kid and built little space things. And I didn't really do helicopters as my first corporate job. I worked at a bank. So super similar, right? This is all sarcastic, but in any case, why would anyone leave a really fun job like that? Let's talk about that. Why are you still not doing that? That sounds great.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, yes, first of all, like I didn't leave that job. Like in 2016, I moved to US, a completely different kind of job as a product management. So I really enjoyed kind of building, designing the product. So starting from defining the requirements, like analyzing what the customer wants and review like what really the market, the competitors do, designing, moving forward with the design, the test, and the production. So that was very interesting. The portion that I didn't like too much is you're kind of limited, right? You have a lot of constraints. So if you're the kind of person that likes comfortable in following a path or with minor deviations, that's super fun, totally appropriate. But a lot of times I found myself in a position where I wanted to change, to improve, to change the process, to speed up, to change the product, to pivot, and the bureaucracy, the processes, the levels that you need to get approval from were just too slowing down too much and kind of discouraging. So yeah, I was pushed to look for a startup environment. I was very, very close to join a robotics company in Boston, but then they didn't go through. I moved forward. I looked for a job, and it was kind of the dream job, designing and building rockets. So I joined Astra in San Francisco. As you mentioned, and fun fact, I joined Astra the day after the last launch of Rocket 3. So it was a Sunday, and I joined on a Monday in 2022.
Got it. And then we know what happened to Rocket 4, you know.
And they are designed. Yeah.
I don't know what that. Yeah, I'm not a statistician, but I'm seeing a direct correlation with them hiring you and not getting Rocket 4 off the ground. I mean, what can I say? You start walking through, they don't launch a rocket. But that's, I'm sure that's fine. You know, it's all good, man. So, Tactignite, though, I mean, I cannot help the fact that there are some aerodynamic sort of keywords that are incorporated into what you have here with Ignite and skyrocketing, startups. Am I mistaken, or is that deliberate?
Yeah, I can't. I cannot get rid of my roots, right? So yeah, I need to have a rocket somewhere.
Of course, yeah, this is good.
Helicopters were too slow.
Helicopters were not moving quickly enough. So how do you end up? Yeah. So then how do you end up, you know, launching an accelerator? That to me it's such an interesting concept because it's not like just a startup, right? It's sort of like the startup of startups. It's like somewhat, you know, it isn't enough to kind of take on just the individual risk of one particular startup, but I want to build my business model about, you know, all of the startups involved. I'm always really in awe of people that, you know, try to build this concept. And there's so many different pieces that are involved in it. You know, raising the money and then negotiating with the startups and mentoring them and stuff like that. So yeah, tell me again why this is a good idea and where you guys are at in the journey.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so everything started with myself joining this kind of entrepreneurship groups and start meeting with founders, with startups. I really wanted to invest in some of the startups. I wanted to contribute and join if there was a good project. I was totally looking for this kind of environment. So I met Parham, that is currently the CEO of Tech, and we started working together. I was kind of fascinated by the idea that the concept of Tech Ignite that he put together, and we start interviewing a lot of founders. Actually, before we met, Parham already interviewed like 140 founders and startups, trying to understand what the problems are. He wanted to invest too, but he was not able to find the right opportunity, the right project. So he kind of like flipped the table and say, okay, what can I provide? Which help do you need? What we figured out is that you can kind of synthesize, you can kind of summarize a few, not a few, but some pitfalls, some kind of mistakes that early stage funders do, and a few needs, a few very, very important fields where founders need help. So we engineered, we built Tech Ignite around that concept.
Very cool. I'm interested to hear your learnings on what the different categories were of startups failing. You know, I mean, we hear about things like, you know, people getting in fights with their co-founder or something like that. But that to me seems almost like erratic and unpredictable. So I'm imagining it's not things like that. It's probably things maybe related to, I don't know, like not having a proper business model. I'm just theorizing. So I'm curious, yeah, what did you see when you kind of looked at this market?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, we noticed like a very interesting statistics. So about 80 to 85% of the founders that we interviewed were non-technical founders. So we noticed this disproportion between CTO and CEO for many reasons. I think there is a newsletter that we have published where we kind of dig into the details. But so having like these non-technical founders there, it's a kind of pose a risk on the product development, right? So it's very tough to develop a product with, especially for an early stage startups, with a limited budget, and you need to iterate quick and to go out with an MVP quick. So that was the first problem that we are trying to solve. The second one is most of the time the founders that failed, they were building a product that the market don't need. Like, you don't have any customers, any users that would that are willing to pay for that product. And it sounds so simple, but I can tell you, like, if you interview like 100 founders that failed with their venture, you will find out that 80%, 70% of them, they were building either the product or some features were kind of off with respect to the market and to the needs.
Yeah, that's, I would say, unsurprising, you know, because it is, like you said, it is so true. We see it all the time. I've done it, you know, I've done it personally. I've read about it. Both of those, actually. You know, when I did my first startup, I was a non-technical founder, and the process of trying to kind of find that complementary piece was very difficult. And we ended up kind of hiring a developer, but I always was really like insecure in the relationship and understanding like the tech path and whether or not like he was the right person for the job and had, you know, our best interests in mind. There's sort of always doubt. So if I had, you know, if I had someone like on your level to kind of be that complementary piece, that would have been huge. And then, you know, again, just building things that nobody wants. I mean, you just, if you go on any marketplace where people are selling products and stuff like that, like, you know, a MicroAcquire or something like that, it's just a graveyard of products that people built because they thought it was a good idea, never validated the need. And then here they are selling it years later. You know, how do you have any tips and tricks on the validation piece? Because that, yeah, I think a lot of people kind of get that, you know, we want, you know, to make sure that there's a need, but like how?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And, you know, by the book, you can go there, you interview potential users, you kind of build the simplest, the minimum MVP possible, and you test it. And by the book, it's totally fine. But what we realized is that for a non-technical founder, even building that MVP, even building like a minimum number of features would have been like very, very tough, either very costly or anyway slow and a kind of not giving them the opportunity to really test the product. So what we have implemented, we built what we call the Tyra, so our Tech Ignite reference architectures. So our basically some software templates that we are able to quickly tailor and we can deliver software products, platform, app, or web-based product very quickly. So the concept is fail fast. So try your MVP. If it's not working, you can either pivot, arrange some features, remove or add features, and then you will have like the real validation. So
love it. Yeah, I was wondering, like, I knew we'd get to like the kind of the secret sauce here, and I feel like that's it, because like you said, you know, buy the book, you know, people have kind of read the book, they read the article, but the execution part is super hard, and really understanding what is the proper MVP and getting that validation and then being able to kind of build it. And so that being where you guys kind of come in and offering, you know, for lack of a better word, and you said it, like a template, which just is something that can, you know, by definition, it can usually be put out more quickly, get some experience, some data with it, and determine whether or not there's actually, you know, a market here, and some validation to keep going. That's huge, you know, because again, as someone who has, you know, personally spent like tens of thousands of dollars on products that like nobody wanted or needed, and I have an LLC right now, I'm thinking like, oh, should I just dissolve this thing? You know, it creates problems. There are problems beyond, you know, just building a product that nobody needs. There's, you know, there's what do you do with those products that you have? There's a bunch of different stuff. So I think it's a great concept. So how do you find out about new startups? Like, how do people get in touch, apply? Is it cohorts? Like, what, you know, what should people know who are interested?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we operate based on a cohort. So we have one cohort per quarter. Our Launchpad program applications for the second cohort of 2024, so for Q2, are open. Deadline is the end of this month for the application. So yeah, what we do, we have normally 3-4 weeks application window, and then we believe in like a long-term support. So we offer normally up to 12 months of support to our startups. So we select 3 to 5 startups per cohort, and we support them. That's how we operate. Another approach that I think it's pretty unique that I would like to mention is we believe in active investment. So another problem that a lot of founders faced are the fact that they go through these accelerators, they get like mentorship, they got like these workshop videos, material documents, but first is not tailored, and second, the mentors do not have like kind of aligned target. So in our case, as mentioned, we believe in active investment. So our mentors are investors themselves. So they have they want the startups to succeed because they have a personal stake in the game.
Cool. Yeah. All the angles sound great. I'm glad that we don't have such a large queue in this podcast that when we get this out tomorrow, it will be in time to promote the next cohort. And hopefully maybe we can get some, you know, some PTE or some Philly-based companies interested. So thank you, Daniele, for kind of sharing a little bit about your personal journey and what you're doing right now at TactIgnite. For people that, you know, want to shoot you a message, want to get in touch, want to follow along with any thought leadership you're putting out, where should they go?
Yeah, sure. So they can check our LinkedIn page, TechIgnite, or www.techignite.com, our website. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. No, thanks for having me, and good luck with everything with PT. Keep it that.
That's all for today's episode of Philly Tech Connect. Join our community at phillytechentrepreneurs.com. Special thanks to our sponsor, shortlist.io, a digital marketing agency specializing in top-notch link building, content strategy, and web design. Stay innovative, Philly, and see you next time on Philly Tech Connect.